Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 1. Everybody standing, please, when you found it. We're going to do something a little differently. I'm going to have you read with me. And I'll read the odd verses, if you don't mind reading the even verses with me. So when you find it, please stand in honor of God's Word. And then I'll read the odd verses, and please read the even verses with me. Starting in verse 1. And please, Darius, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any exception against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, and the governors, and the princes, and the counselors, and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statutes, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, and sign the writings, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. And then the last verse that we'll read is verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the service that we've had so far. And Heavenly Father, just the privilege to be able to sing honor and glory to you and the special music that we had. And Heavenly Father, it reminds us on how good you are to us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fact that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross. And dearly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you give salvation freely. And dearly Father, if there's one that's not saved in this room, I pray that you help them to see the need for a Savior. Give them courage to talk to one of us so that we can show them from the Bible on how they can be saved and how they can have a home in heaven one day. Dearly Father, for the message, I pray that you have full control. Dearly Father, our pastor is gone and the services just don't quite feel right without him. And dearly Father, thank you for the fact that you give us a man of God that loves us and that leads as you lead him. And dearly Father, we pray that you heal him and bring him back to us rested and recovered soon. But dearly Father, in his absence, we pray that you use your word. The Bible says that your word will not return void. We pray that you allow your word to have free reign in our service. Dearly Father, have the Holy Spirit have free reign in our service. Dearly Father, help us to accomplish what you'd have us to accomplish. And pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was doing some research and I found a story. A true story that kind of caught my attention. There was a story that's kind of known as the 40 Martyrs of Sebaste. And in the famed 12th Legion of the Roman Imperial Army, there was 40 soldiers who professed faith in Christ Jesus. And one day their captain informed them that the Emperor Licinius had sent out an edict commanding all soldiers to offer a sacrifice to pagan gods. These Christian warriors said, you can have our armor, even our bodies, but our hearts, allegiance belong to Christ Jesus. Because of their stance, they were marched onto a frozen lake in midwinter, AD 320, and stripped of their clothes. At any time they could renounce Christ and be spared death. Instead, they huddled close together and sang songs of victory in Christ. They, um, That freezing night, they saw 30 men fall to their icy graves. When there was but one man, he stumbled to the shore and renounced Christ. As the officer in charge of guarding those men, after listening to their singing and seeing their testimony, he secretly became a believer in Christ. Immediately, he replaced the man who had renounced Christ, walked out onto the ice, threw off his clothing, and confessed his faith in Christ Jesus. At sunrise, the Roman soldiers found 40 men, and just to be on the safe side, they burned their bodies and sprinkled them across the river. Those 40 men, brave men, demonstrated a faith that was consistent, a faith that accomplished. And the truth of the matter is Daniel was one of those men that had a faith that moved him to action. See, the thing about it is that Daniel was one of these men who he was consistent. The Bible talks about, moreover, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. And God calls us to be stewards. And the thing about it is that as a young man, we see in Daniel chapter 1 that he was separated. And in Daniel chapter 5, we see that he was sold out. And in Daniel chapter 6, we see that he was surrendered. See, the thing about it is that Daniel, even though he faced great trials, even though he faced affliction, the truth of the matter is he was trusting in the one that's trustworthy. And this morning, I would like to talk about the faith of Daniel. The faith of Daniel. See, Daniel can teach us a lot of things. I believe that nothing in the Bible is by happenstance. God put it in there for a reason. It's the Bible is not necessarily what God knows, but it's what He wants us to know. And so, I'll be honest with you, the story about Daniel is a very, very convicting story. And you see how Daniel handles trials and afflictions, and it's a lesson to us, because too many times, I'll be honest with you, we tend to be afflicted, and we tend to have different things happen to us, and unfortunately, we don't always handle in the right way. Sometimes we become overwhelmed, and we start deciding that there are burden to bear. And the Bible says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And so, you know, what's interesting as we look at the story about Daniel, it isn't about how you start the race, although that's very important, or about how you finish the race, although that is also very important. God is interested in running faithfully all the way through. Hebrews chapter 12, and the Bible talks about here in Hebrews this idea of running faithfully. The Bible says Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1-3, and the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endures such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." You know, the thing about it is God wants us to be faithful all the way through. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are some people that we know that it seemed like they're firecracker Christianity. They come, I tell you what, they come in a blaze of glory, and it seemed like they burned in a blaze of glory as well. And but I'll be honest with you, one of the people that impacted my life the most was different pastors, and one of the latest, obviously, Pastor Lance is a great influence on me, but I'll never forget Pastor Alan Moll. And he passed away some years back. And you know what was great about him is at his funeral, he was able to say, that, Pastor Hester was doing the funeral, and he was able to say, you know what, Pastor Moll, when he got saved, he got on fire for God. And he served God faithfully all the way through the years. And you know what, when he passed away, he passed away with his, what do they call it, sitting on the saddle. And basically, what's that? with their boots on. And so he wasn't kicking back, and he wasn't taking a sabbatical. He wasn't and maybe I should have my wife sit on the platform so she can whisper in my ear. And here's the thing: is I asked for it, so she's been a helpful wife. But thing about it is that he wasn't taking a sabbatical. He was faithfully doing what he'd always done. And the thing about it is that's what made him so effective in reaching people was the fact that Brother Mole was always upbeat. He was always, he'd always had the joy of the Lord on his face. And so, but the thing about it is that we're supposed to be faithful. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible also talks here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." I want you to notice the reaction of Daniel. And here's the thing: is Daniel is a very awesome story, because here you have Daniel rising up, and Daniel is rising up, and the Bible says that he was second to the king, and all the presidents and all the princes and all these people that thought they were somebody were under Daniel. And so the thing about it is they were a little bit jealous. And so they decided, you know what? We're going to get the king to sign a decree that nobody can pray to anybody but the king. And so here they get him, and I kind of believe they butter him up a little bit. "Hey, yo, you're such an awesome king. Tell you what, how about the whole kingdom just pray to you?" And I think that'll be good. So he signs the deal. You know what's interesting is they almost put the little fine print right in the passage. Verse 8, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign it and write it, that it be not changed according to..." It's almost like they're reminding him that it be not changed according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Therefore, the king Darius signed the writing and the decree. It's almost like, hey, remember, this can't be changed. It's kind of like the devil in the garden, you know. It's like, "Yea, hath God said," and he's almost putting this deal in, and he's laughing, because the truth of the matter is he knew that once Adam and Eve sinned, that, you know what, his evil plan was in place. And the same thing is here with these princes and the presidents and whatnot. And they're wringing their hands. Their evil plan, it couldn't be changed. And so all of a sudden, I'm sure there was, this is kind of Viscottism a little bit, but I'm sure the evil minions ran over. "Hey, Daniel, guess what? You can't pray." The thing about it is they knew they couldn't get Daniel to blatantly break the rules, the Bible says. You know what? They realized that the way they could get Daniel was by the law of his God, the true God. And so here's the thing: is you know what Daniel did? He found out about it, and in modern vernacular, here's what he said: "Listen, I know I can't. I know the king signed a decree. Let me go pray about it." And anyways, here's the thing: is listen, when we come to trials and tribulations, you know what you need to do? Hey, let's pray about it, and let's give it to the one that can handle the situation. You know what? Let's be faithful. And I'll be honest with you, Daniel, he knew where to look. And you know what's interesting is this wasn't the first time Daniel had prayed. This wasn't Daniel saying, "You know what, God, I don't know really how to pray, but let me pray." No, here's the thing: is you look at verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." This wasn't a "God, I need you. I know I haven't spoke to you in the last 3 months, but God, I need you now, and what should I do about it?" No. Here's the thing: is Daniel had a prayer life. Daniel had a prayer life. The Bible says, "Pray without ceasing." I believe Daniel did. And here's the thing: is you know what? Daniel wasn't one of those guys. If Daniel was today, here's what Daniel would not do. Daniel wouldn't go into McDonald's and say, "Heavenly Father, hopefully nobody sees me. Heavenly Father, bless this food. Amen. Hope it was quick enough, nobody noticed." And no, here's the thing: is I believe Daniel. If Daniel was today, he might even bow down to one knee and "Dearly Father," you know, and make sure loud enough for everybody to hear. That way, there was conviction that hey, they should be praying too. And the thing about it is that "Dearly Father, bless this food." That Daniel wasn't ashamed. Daniel wasn't ashamed to pray, and he wasn't hiding in his corner, keeping the blinds shut. No, the Bible says. The Bible says here that he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem. No, I tell you what, he said, "Listen, I have faith in my God. The truth of the matter is you know what? Nobody can tell me. I'll be honest with you. He wasn't concerned about the king. He was concerned about the King of Kings. And he was more worried about pleasing the King of Kings than he was the king. And that's why God blessed him. You look at Daniel and how God blessed his life. It was because he had a good attitude and he was more worried about the King of Kings than he was the king. And so here's the thing, is it wasn't just, like you say, a foxhole prayer. And I don't know if maybe Daniel went around and here's the thing is, they looked for ways in which they could get Daniel. They looked for ways. I don't know if Daniel walked around and said, you know what, hey, let me tell you an answer to prayer. Here's the thing is, all these people knew that Daniel prayed. And so the thing about it is that, listen, if we have consistent faith, I wonder how many people know we pray. I wonder how many times we bragged on God and say, hey, listen, let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you, you know what? I tell you what, testimony time is an awesome time. Not because we get a chance to say, yeah, look at my prayer life. No, what we're there saying, hey, listen how awesome God is. Hey, you want to know how awesome God is? Look at what He's done in my life. And the truth of the matter is, that's why I love our prayer time. See, the thing about it is too many times, I remember hearing a sermon. It was a sermon that was copied. It was mentioned by a missionary, and it was copied by somebody else. And anyways, the title of it was Pot Bottle Christianity. And basically the gist of it was how many have ever tried to go to maybe an airport or a public building or something where there's no restaurant, and you try and get a pop out of a pop machine? Anybody? And you see it's $4 or $5 for a pop. But the thing about it is, if you go to the store, a lot of times you can get a 2-liter on sale, sometimes 89 cents, a dollar. And, the gist of it was this. I talked with an individual one time and a family member was ill and getting ready to die. And this person was having a hard time. They wanted to witness to their family member, but at the same point in time, they were torn because they hadn't witnessed anybody in a long time. And they were really shaky about witnessing to somebody and the fact that they hadn't prayed in quite a while. And they talked to me, and with tears flowing down their face, they said, listen, I don't know why God would even answer my prayer. I haven't talked to Him. I haven't shared the gospel. I haven't cared about anybody else. Why would God answer my prayer now? And he said, the thing about it is he had a whole lot of catching up to do just before he felt like he could even pray about his loved one. And the thing about it is that, listen, part of having a consistent faith, one that's like Daniel's faith, is the fact that we know that, hey, listen, there's not time to catch up. When we need God to answer our prayer, when we need God to hear us, we don't have to say, well, God, it's me. In case you didn't recognize it, I'm Scott Willman, and I got saved back in, if you don't, you know, it's like, and all of a sudden you have to reintroduce, you feel like you got to reintroduce yourself because you haven't prayed in such a long time. Or you haven't shared. And here's the thing, as he told me afterwards, he's like, I felt like I stumbled so much on witnessing because I wasn't in practice. And he said it was the worst feeling he'd ever felt because he knew the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. And he said, I had iniquity in my heart for a long time. I had sin in my life. And I knew that I was supposed to be witnessing and sharing the gospel, but I was, when the time where it mattered the most to me, I was out of practice. And so the thing about it is that this was the gist of the Pot Bottle Christianity sermon was keeping short accounts with God. But the thing about it is Daniel wasn't like this. The Bible says, as he did aforetime. And, you know, the thing about it is that you look and kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks. When's the last time we prayed and gave thanks? When's the last time we sing the song, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. You know, I tell you what, we sing the song. When's the last time that we had a sweet hour of prayer? I'll be honest, we can tell ourselves if we have a sweet hour of prayer, because if we go and try and have a sweet hour of prayer and we hadn't had prayer in a long time, let me tell you what usually happens. Dear Heavenly Father,
I pray for this, I pray for that, I pray for this. And you go down the list and you think, man, I tell you what, it's got to be an hour. I've been down here an hour and a half probably. And you look at your watch, 7 minutes. And anyways, you think, what else can I pray for? I'm going to pray around the world. You know, you hear Tom Williams praying around the world. And Heavenly Father, pray for this ministry, that missionary, and pray for this country and that country and get saved and all this other stuff. And you think, it's been 12 minutes. And anyways, you go in and you think, I tell you what. But, you know, it's just like this. I remember the first time I seen my wife, and she wasn't my wife at that point in time. I seen her in the parking lot. And if you wonder how long I've been joking around and stuff, the first time I seen my wife, I acted like I was going to run her down in the parking lot. And anyways, I seen her, and the first time I talked to her, I'll be honest with you, I was nervous. She was a good-looking woman, and still is today. And anyways, I walk up, and I the only thing I could spit out was, you know where my sister is. And she even wondered if I even cared about her, because I was asking her where my sister was. It was because I was nervous, and I wasn't comfortable. And now I tell you what, I love taking trips, because here's the thing: is my wife and I, we can talk. Doesn't matter how long the trip is, we can talk the whole way there and the whole way back. And it seems like we never run out of things to say. You know what? God's the same way. That God wants us to have a relationship with Him. I tell you what, the first time we come to prayer, it's 7 minutes. And but the thing about it is the more we get to know Him, sweeter as the years go by, sweeter as the years go by, Jesus' love is richer, fuller, sweeter, something, sweeter as the years go by. And anyways, I didn't have my wife up here to help fill in the words. But anyways, the truth of the matter is you know what? The closer we get to God, the more easier it is to talk to Him, just like a person. And the truth of the matter is you know what? The longer we pray, the more we pray, the more we feel comfortable, and we're able to have that sweet hour of prayer. And I'll be honest with you, when we get to the point where we walk with God and we just talk with God, I tell you what, it is some sweet times. And anyways, but the thing about it is that Daniel had a scheduled hour of, or a scheduled time of prayer. He also had a place to pray that was also away from distractions. But also, listen, he gave thanks. I tell you what, one thing that our society has gotten away from is the whole idea of giving thanks. And you thank somebody, and it almost takes them by surprise. And anyways, you know, it's like you're walking in, and somebody holds the door open for you, and you grab the door and thank you, and you know, it's like foreign words to him. Did you speak Chinese to me? And but anyways, the thing about it is that we need to give thanks to God. That's why that song was so incredible, is the fact that we realized, hey, listen, Christ didn't have to die on the cross for me. And you know, the thing about it is that if I were to look at myself and honestly, if we were to look at ourselves and honestly examine ourselves and think, why would Christ die for me? I fail Him on a regular basis. The Bible says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I think about this, and the Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. Compared to Christ, we're nothing. And yet Christ would love us so much that He'd die on a cross for me. He would prepare me a home in heaven. Why? Why would He love me that much? That He'd forgive my sins. And I think, you know what? We fail Him on a regular basis. And you know, even though we try, think about the Apostle Paul and the tongue twister, and that I would not do, and all that other stuff. Basically, the thing about it is our heart wants to please God, but sometimes we fail Him. And I think, why would Christ die for me? Why would He forgive my sins? Why would He give us a home in heaven? And that's the spark of thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Why? Because I don't deserve it. I don't know why He saved me. I don't know why He'd go through the pain and agony of the cross for me. Why would He allow somebody to shove that crown of thorns on His head? And we're not talking about the thorns they got now. We're talking thorns back in the Bible days. Why would He go through that for me? I don't deserve it. Thankful. I tell you what, if all Christ ever done for us was die on the cross, I could never pay Him back. I could never thank Him enough. Words couldn't even describe what He's done for us and how awesome He is.
The thing about it is that sometimes our testimony of faith under trial is louder than the testimony of words. I remember in Pasco when I was growing up, there was a saying in the multi-purpose room, your walk talks and your talk talks, and your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And the only reason I can quote it so well is it was drilled into me as a kid. And but anyways, basically, the thing about it is imagine the foes. Daniel didn't alter his ways. He didn't appease the king. The thing about it is imagine how convicting that was for the people. Hey, we can get Daniel on his faith for God. You know, watch him not pray. Watch him cower in the corner. Watch it. You know what? Here's the thing is, I believe that the reason why they thought they got him is because they didn't have the character that Daniel had. They didn't have the firmness and the beliefs that Daniel had. Here's the thing is, that had to have been convicting. I'll be honest with you. You want to make the people around you or maybe at work uncomfortable? Bow your head and start praying out loud. I tell you what, you start to see some very uncomfortable people. And the thing about it is, you know what, I'll be honest with you. Too many times Christians cower, and the other people pray on that because they realize how shaken we are in our faith and how ashamed it is. I tell you what, you flip that around, you be confident in your faith, and you just pray out loud, Dear Heavenly Father, bless this food. You know, here's the thing, you don't even have to do it out loud. You see some very uncomfortable people. Why? Because you show them that, hey, listen, my God is more important than what you think of me. The truth of the matter is you know what? I'm going to have faith in the God that can do something about my trials. And one of my favorite things to do is somebody decides to curse and swear, and blankety blank, blank, blank. Just start hollering out praises to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't he good for being? You know what? He saved my soul. I tell you what. Glory to God. And they kind of look at you. And you know what? I guarantee you that would be the last time they curse and swear around you. And but anyways, the thing about it is we need to have faith like Daniel. Faith like Daniel. What a testimony it is to our foes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. The Bible says... One more page. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so it testifies to our friends. The thing about it is many of us, I tell you what, we have friends out in the workplace or whatever. The truth of the matter is they need to be saved just like anybody else. And imagine the influence that the king had. Here you have it. He didn't realize at the time when he was signing the decree, this is going to put my friend Daniel in trouble. But then when he realized, I tell you what, you read the Bible and we don't have time to turn there, but he was kind of worried about Daniel. And after the night, he rushes down to the, Daniel, are you okay, basically? And he says, you know what, my God delivered me. The thing about it is that it testifies a lot of things. You know, but here's the thing is, you know what the interesting part about it is? Here's Daniel. He's faced with, I'll be honest with you, the reason they had the den of lions is not because 50-50 chance he was devoured by lions. No. Usually when they threw somebody in that den of lions, they were done. They were devoured. There's nothing but bones. The lions were down there picking their teeth. And the thing about it is that listen, it was a miracle that God had shut the mouths of the lions. And why? Because, you know what? I believe Daniel had faith in God. And Daniel, the thing about it is you know, you read the Bible, my God will deliver me. It seems like, you know, it's kind of like his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what? My God will deliver me, but if not, hey, it's okay. We'll still trust in God, and we'll still put our lives in his hands. And here's the thing is, you know what? God shut the mouths of the lions. God, you know, there was a story about Craig Davison, a consistent man, Phoenix, Arizona resident, began running regularly in 1958. And he hadn't missed a single day since when the article was written about him in 1997. By May of 1997, at age 43, he calculated that he'd logged 120,000 miles, nearly five laps around the world. His regimen of running was an example of consistency by itself. And he'd done, basically his traveling, while running, Davison kept his eyes open for loose change and did not pass up a single penny. And the consistent vigilant has paid off. Over the years, he collected $5,170. All those dimes, nickels, and pennies
and it paid for a second honeymoon in Hawaii in 1991. Now, all of us would love to find 5,000, every one of us would love to find 5,000 bucks, wouldn't we? How many of us would be willing to run 5 laps around the world to get it? You know what? Here's the thing is, I'll never forget one time, as a little kid, somebody found $5 in the parking lot. Man, after that happened, we were all roaming around the parking lot, looking around for another $5 for at least 5 minutes. And then we got distracted and we left and squirrel. But the thing about it is that consistency. We need some Daniels in our day. Some men and women of faith who will make up their minds to just walk with God and have the faith of Daniel. Can it be said of us that we're consistent, faithful Christians? More of it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. He just wants us to walk in obedience, minute by minute, day by day. Does that describe us? We can walk with him and be consistent. He will enable you, just like he enabled Daniel. And the thing about it is, you know what, I'll be honest with you. When we walk with God, God is a great God. God is a very powerful God. Just like Brother Paul said, you know, the thing about it is many people don't realize how many answers to prayer there are around here and how much awesome things that God is doing. But you know what? Listen, for those that walk with God, it's never a dull moment. God does some pretty incredibly awesome things. But you know what? It requires faithfulness. It requires keeping on and doing, and you know what? Not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ like the Bible says. Let's determine this morning to have faith like Daniel. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenge from your word. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to take the story about Daniel and allow it to convict our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we talked about our conscience this morning. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us all not to have a seared conscience. And Dear Heavenly Father, help us to allow the word of God to penetrate our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, for those of us that maybe are praying, Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to determine to pray more. Help us to be bold. Dear Heavenly Father, I think about the verse, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help it to be said of us that we've been with you so much that we have boldness to speak the things to speak of you and speak of the gospel. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help each and every one of us to make a determination today to be more like Daniel and less like the world. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm not even going to look. How many would say, with an uplifted hand to God, not to me, my eyes are bowed. God, something in the message spoke to my heart, and I'm going to make a decision to be more like Daniel. Would you raise your hand? My hand's raised. Heavenly Father, you see the hands? I don't. My eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us all to determine to be like Daniel. And for those that raise their hand, I pray that you just help them to determine to stick with that decision. Help them to determine to be more like you. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to walk with you and give us the boldness. And Heavenly Father, for those that didn't raise their hand, you know the reason. Heavenly Father, I pray that you work in their heart too as well. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the invitation. Help us to respond to your word in Jesus' name.